talking about something a little different today. An action comedy by the name of Thunder Force. Hope you guys have a great one, and hope you're ready to hop right into it. Let's go. Let's get him. Alright. So, today we're going to be talking about Thunder Force. definitely not something that I was necessarily planning on freaking out about, you know. But whenever I first saw it, like being like advertised and stuff like that, and I'm sure my my thoughts to this movie probably differ a little bit from a lot of the others, but whenever I first saw it, I was like, okay, cool, you know, this will be a fun thing to talk about. It has that Melissa McCarthy chick in it, and a lot of times when I see her, I'm like, okay, cool, it's gonna be a fun, it's a funny movie, you know, it's comedy. So I wasn't really sitting there expecting, you know, greatness from something called Thunder Force, you know. But yeah, it's an action comedy. It's a superhero based action comedy at that. So I think that was kind of like the first thing that kind of drew me in. Flashy poster, all that good stuff. Netflix advertising for it pretty well, actually. I guess a few things I wanted to talk about here in my notes, and I'm gonna start hopping into this here in a sec. But before I do that, let me, you know, paint you a picture. So, the opening scenes to it have a little bit of a, I guess, like a comic booky feel, which is, you know, right place to kind of put this sort of thing. It kind of starts out letting you know what all happened, I guess, in this little universe where these super people exist. I think it described it as some sort of cosmic ray or something like that that kind of came from space and hit Earth, causing some sort of explosion or something like that. Which I'm sure you can hear that and think of the millions of other sort of superhero plots from all sorts of Marvel, DC, any sort of thing. Because I can think of a few different storylines that this reminds me of. But yeah, a beam, cosmic beam, comes down, smacks Earth, you know, and this sort of thing caused sort of chain of events, sort of causing certain humans and things like that within the population, not a lot, well, it's a lot probably, not, you know, the whole population, just rare instances in where a good chunk of the population had gotten, you know, hit with, well, after the events of the cosmic beam and stuff like that hitting Earth, a lot of people had started gaining, you know, super abilities and stuff like that, and they ended up calling these super people, you know, miscreants is the name, which was one thing when I heard it, I was like, okay, cool, you know, it's a different type of name, you know, because most, again, when you're going into these, like, super shows, animes, any sort of thing, they usually have some cool name or something like that to sort of label the people that are different, you know, within this universe. And this one was Miscreants. Now, I'm not going to lie, I'm sure they probably could have came up with something a little different, a little better. I don't know if Miscreants necessarily, like, you know, hits for me. But it's a good enough name to where I was like, all right, cool, they got a name for them. Because, you know, when you think of Miscreants and stuff like that, these super-powered, you know, people, I'm sitting here thinking of different, like, you know, Inhumans, mutants, things like, sort of weird, other little, like, you know, places that have sort of used different names and stuff to kind of identify, like, the people affected by certain events or, you know, certain developments within the story. So, yeah, Miscreants are what they have named these sort of people in this universe where, you know, they've gained superpowers and they are now, you know, apart from society in some way, it's again an alright name for them. The first thing that I wanted to kind of tackle, I guess, everybody has powers, that was me painting the picture, right? So a few people have powers. The story is centered around. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around everywhere. The story is centered around the two main characters here, which are Lydia and Emily. Lydia is. You'll kind of see this sort of within the first opening scenes and stuff like that when it's showing them as kids and stuff going through just normal everyday school life. Lydia is kind of just like, you know, rough and rowdy kind of chick, you know. She's not like the best at school and stuff like that, but you know, she has a good heart. That's a really nice character to see sometimes. She's rough, does her thing, she's a strong person, and you know, she kind of sticks up for what she feels is, you know, right in some capacity. Now, Emily is, you know, kind of the opposite in a way. Not in every way, but you know, in a few. Just by, you know, Emily, Lydia, you know, is the strong one here, and, you know, Lydia is, you know, doing her own thing here. Emily is more so the brains of the operation, you know. She's a really smart chick, you know, they kind of did a good job of just kind of portraying the whole, like, okay, yeah, I'm the nerdy kid here type of thing with her character when she's in school. And it was really nice because you got to see the two interact through some, like, oh, hey, you know, kid bullying me type of thing, and the one sticking up for the other type of thing, kind of introducing the two characters to each other, which was kind of cool. So, you know, I'll clap it up for that. They get along pretty well in the beginning, and of course, you know, them being so different, I think, kind of drew them together. And you know, both of them kind of just having general interest in the other because of how different they were, I think. So again, Lydia is, you know, rough and rowdy, the strong chick here, and Lydia, dang it, Lydia is the rough and rowdy one, and Emily is, you know, the smart, brainsy one here. And I think I think it was somewhere like in some sort of playground scene where they were kind of just talking about things, and you know, Lydia here kind of, you know, she's kind of just living in the moment, I feel like, as you kind of do as a kid. But you can already kind of tell that Emily was a very future-driven kid. She was like, yeah, of course I'm this way, I'm smart, I'm, you know, I am the way I am. And she, I think she kind of like understands, like, yeah, this is probably bound to happen. You know, she's a smart kid. But she, you can kind of tell that, like, she's like, hey, I am the way I am. This is probably what I'm gonna have to deal with, and you know, go through, for me to reach the goals that I would feel like reaching. And Emily's character is pretty ambitious within this movie. She, you know, even from that scene where she's meeting Melissa's character and stuff like that as a kid, you kind of see, like, oh no, she has big plans for the future. Like, she plans on doing the whole, like, oh, I literally plan on changing the world in some way, shape, or some capacity, right? She plans on doing big things. So, you know, she's letting her know, like, yeah, man, I plan on doing this and this to help out people in the future and change the world and all this other stuff. So I thought that was kind of nice. It gave you that whole, it set the tone for the characters through the scope of them being children and stuff like that, which later kind of opens up to, okay, boom, fast forward to now type of a situation within the movie. And the now is very, very interesting. I think the first scene they kind of show is Melissa's character, Lydia, the rough one here. She's kind of doing her own thing. She has a job, and I think it was like, I don't know what it was. It was like, it wasn't necessarily construction. It was something, I cannot remember. She was moving crates and all this other crazy stuff around, kind of like almost warehousey type work. I can't really think of what exactly her job was, but you know, she's doing that. She has like a pretty normal job for the most part, and it's kind of following her around, even kind of like having her talk to like another character they hate that they kind of met while they were kids and stuff like that, which is kind of like their comedy relief. He's an okay comedy relief. I'm not gonna give him like all of the props. He's an okay character that kind of pitches in with a joke or two here and there, and the joke is okay. You know, it's okay running joke. Nothing too crazy here. But they again, this is the flash forward. So Lydia, you know, she's doing life normally. She's kind of having things go okay for her. I don't think anything's necessarily going crazy wrong for her in life, but you know, life is life for her. Emily, on the other hand, like I said, her kid character very much set the tone for, yes, she's ambitious. She plans on doing big things and changing the world type of thing. And you kind of fast forward and get to see Emily, and the first thing you see is this big old building with her last name on it, and that was pretty wild to see that, because it was just this like moment of like, oh wow, yeah, she wasn't playing around. Yeah, so she's basically a really, really successful woman, with some background in science and all this other stuff, and rightfully so, because she did have plans of, I guess, changing the world in some way, and I guess that's a pretty good way to start, you know, getting some background in science, getting to know different things about, you know, how the body works and different things you can do to modify or enhance it, I guess, in a way. Now, again, don't forget about the whole miscreants thing, the whole superpowered people sort of thing, the cosmic beam that caused all this. Now, the people within this place here. The miscreants within this story are pretty much the bad guys here, you know. They did kind of like at the beginning, like they kind of put it towards like, oh, okay, some people are gonna get some powers or whatever. You don't know who's gonna get the powers, but people are gonna get the powers. But you kind of notice that a lot of the people that are labeled miscreants here are generally supposed to be the bad guys. So the people that end up getting these powers are a lot of the villains, I guess. So that kind of opens up the plot again to what all happens to Lydia and Emily within this story. Again, Lydia. Oh, my bad. I keep mixing up these names. Emily, again, the big successful one, she's been making sort of advancements in science and stuff like that, and she kind of has a plan to kind of get the miscreant issue under control, and I'm sure you can kind of see where her whole I plan on changing the world kind of plan starts heading towards, you know? They plan on solving a big old problem and stuff like that with things that are involved with miscreants and crime. Emily, oh my bad, Lydia this time, the, you know, rough rowdy, kind of ends up tumbling back into Emily's life in one way or another. She was kind of, I think it was like a, was it like a high school reunion? It was something like that. Some sort of something they were trying to get everybody back together for. And you know, she kind of ends up stumbling into the lab, trying to talk to her and stuff like that. She had to wait around. Some very dumb things happen. And it kind of sets up the first stage of the movie in which you see the superpowers and stuff like that being demonstrated by someone other than the miscreants. So, again, the movie is called Thunder Force, and this is kind of letting you know how, I guess, the origin story of the two. So, yeah, there was an accident or something that happens within the story, and Melissa's character ends up getting injected with something somehow because she was being an idiot and I don't know if she pressed a button or she did something extra dumb. And oh yeah, that's what it was. She sat in like this chair or something like that already had some like automated like sequence or certain things that like it's supposed to do as soon as you like sit down in it, I guess. And that ended up, you know, getting her injected with something. And she ends up getting super strength. So that was kind of cool seeing like, oh yeah, this is probably the right power for her. And yeah, she has super strength now. Lydia, the smart one, comes in and starts talking to them about the different things and stuff like that. She's like, "Oh man, what have you done? Why do this? Is like this many years of research is down the drain now. You've taken my injection, and I was supposed to like do this and this with that." So she had again big plans to change the world and stuff like that. And she basically kind of planned on making herself some sort of almost like a super soldier type thing, right? Now, Melissa's character accidentally took, again, all that research, the years of research and stuff like that, of injections and stuff like that. She took them, so she can't really, Lydia's character can't really use them. But she can still take the treatments for the other stuff that she planned on doing, because, again, she had many things, I guess, ready for this. Like, when I was sitting there looking at the just how much was like happening within the movie, I was starting to realize, like, dang, if things would have went to plan, this chick probably would have been extra unstoppable. I'm not gonna lie. Like, there were all sorts of powers and different abilities and stuff like that that she was researching, and that she and some of the stuff that she already had like on deck and like ready. And if Melissa didn't mess it up, she'd basically be this like superhuman freaking. She would have been a pretty unstoppable force. Pretty unstoppable. I'm not gonna lie. The only treatment, a few of the treatments that she had left, one of them was an invisibility treatment. So, which had a funny moment or whatever. She was like, "Bro, I really sat here and got like injected in the face, and all you have to do is take a pill." She somehow developed some pill and ends up balancing things out in her body and giving her cool abilities and stuff. So, Lydia has super strength, and Emily can turn invisible and stuff. So that's a kind of, it's a fun little dynamic, I guess. Which, yeah, that kind of opens up a fun little like store scene later on, which you can see. So another thing, I guess, since I guess I'm done painting the picture now, I guess my first little like opinion, I guess I'll share about this. So whenever I was kind of like chilling, like searching stuff on the internet and stuff about it, I thought it was really weird, like how a lot of YouTubers and things, like I'd see a lot of thumbnails, like worst superhero movie ever. Like, I'm just like, what? Like, cause I, and I felt bad, cause I was like, I'm kind of excited to watch this. Like, I kind of wanted to, kind of go into this and see them do something kind of fun with it, see if it actually does good, you know? So a lot of people were like, bro, this is the worst. Like, I hadn't watched any reviews or nothing. But I just, again, kept seeing all these thumbnails, like, this is the worst, like, a lot of them were really going on the whole, like, this is the worst superhero movie ever made in the history of ever, and I'm just like, you guys are overdoing it, I think, like, especially after I saw the movie, because at first I was like, it can't be that bad, and when I finally got done, I was just like, okay, look, I can see where you guys might have had some issues, you know, but this is not the absolute, like, worst superhero to ever hit the market, you know. It's an okay super flick. It's okay super flick, you know. It does the job. You go in there, you get to see two chicks suit up, fight crime, get some laughs, and you're out. You know, it's not even that long of a movie either, from what I remember. Because a lot of movies have like a runtime of like over 2 hours, and I don't even think it got to that. But yeah, that was one thing I just noticed like right off the bat, was just like all of this just bad, this, that. They were just like, it's the worst movie ever. And I was just like, I got done watching, I was like, that wasn't that bad. Like, some of you guys were overreacting. Which is, I'm sure some of it was like genuine, and a lot of it was also just YouTubers playing the whole game with the algorithm and all that extra stuff, just kind of being like, okay, time to clickbait, let's get some people on this video, you know, type of thing. And I don't blame them. Get the clicks, you get the clicks, right? But again, I felt like it was a lot of overreaction to the movie. Because there were some things it did right, and there were definitely some things that they could have skipped, and I could understand where a lot of that extreme sort of "this is a bad movie" sort of things came from. So, you know, I'm not completely blind to how they were feeling about it. I overall had fun watching it. There were some good moments. There were some good moments in it, training montages, all that good stuff. Again, the kind of fun moment with them actually getting their powers and sitting there discussing what all Emily had planned for the future and stuff like that, and how Lydia kind of messed it up, again, made way for some funny moments and scenes and stuff like that within the movie. So overall, if you're just looking for a few laughs, like just getting a few laughs in a superhero movie, you know, it's not that bad. It's an okay movie, again, like I said. Some of the jokes were iffy, and I think that's a lot. I think that's where some of the people were kind of getting their worst superhero movie everything from this film, you know, because there was a lot of things that were like, yeah, they were pretty funny, they were genuinely funny, and it worked for, you know, the context in which the joke was in. But there were a few things, like there were just like a handful, just a handful, you know, there were a handful of things in this movie where when I was watching it, I went, ooh, like why? Like why did we go that way with the joke, you know, or why do we need to do this type of thing? So I think that's probably where they kind of came in with the whole like, this is a bad movie, just because, like, again, it's a superhero movie, it's not taking itself that seriously And that should probably let you know how seriously you need to be taking it. So they just went in and, again, had fun with making the movie, did whatever they wanted to, and called it a day. So like I said, some of those jokes are gonna hit. Some of those jokes are just not. Like I said, it's only a handful where you're just like, that probably could have been handled a lot better, a lot better. But you hear the joke, you get your little giggle, nose grunt, whatever, and you keep it moving. You really don't care about it that much after you hear. What else was it? The dynamics here. A lot of the accomplishments and stuff like that of the characters within the movie. Let's see. How to say this? Okay, so like I said, Melissa kind of has like an extremely just normal life, but again, she kind of just had this fondness for Emily and the memories and stuff like that they kind of had when they were younger. And it was kind of cool just seeing her just like, hey, let's get back together, do our thing or whatever. But under this sort of circumstance where instead of like, oh, let's go back to this sort of reunion thing, they kind of just sit there and get to relearn about each other's new lives and things like that through them both being superheroes, I guess. So it was more of a like, hey, we came here for this, but things ended up this way, and this way wasn't so bad type of thing that I kind of enjoyed about the movie. So that was kind of cool. It was like this weird sort of growth that you didn't necessarily expect to see, but it was there and it was appreciated for the most part. I thought it was also really cool that Emily's character, the smart one, had a daughter, and that was really fun to see Melissa's character be like, "What? You had a kid? You never told me? Like, what?" But again, they had been apart for how many ever like years or whatever. The kid's pretty much like, what was it? I think the kid was like 15. Like, she was really sitting there like, wow, like, that's an entire kid. But Emily had a kid, and she's just as smart and brilliant as she is, right? And I loved that. That was really fun seeing her, because there were some funny moments with her too. Her and okay, so the daughter, Emily's daughter, and Lydia, the strong one, right? The daughter really likes Lydia, and I thought that was kind of fun. Because you got to sit there and see them interact with each other at times where I guess they ne weren't necessarily supposed to, because I guess like at the time they were basically kind of keeping watch on Lydia because again she did take those sort of take those abilities and stuff like that, so they kind of need to like supervise her in some way. So through that they kind of end up having to still have to interact with each other on a daily basis and stuff. And through that, you've got to see the daughter sit there and talk to Lydia sometimes. They play video games. They would just goof around and do like really dumb things together, I guess. And it was really fun kind of seeing the daughter kind of enjoy herself, but you also get to see like, okay, yeah, this is the daughter side of things, right? Because she's also getting some sort of experience out of all this. Because her mom is so successful and doing such big things every day within, I guess, the science field or whatever, she's a pretty busy woman. You know, she does her thing, she's off doing all this sort of work, and whenever she is dealing with her, she's kind of working on making her daughter better and better, you know, kind of pushing the family towards success, being, you know, prestigious or something, being these just great people for the future, you know. Which is great. She's just, you know, she's just trying to get some good building blocks going for her daughter so that she can have a great life too. That's a pretty cool thing. Very parent-like, you know. But it was really fun just seeing the daughter interact with Lydia, 'cause like she was talking to her at one of these moments, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And she was kind of like, yeah, man, I love my mom. I love my mom to death. All this other stuff. But like, you know, I don't always get to have these sorts of moments with people. Things are so different here. Like, we do have to spend a lot of time with like research and all this other stuff, and again, making her like a better person so that she can kind of be successful and stuff in the future. But she's basically just like, yeah, I don't really get a lot of just sit down and chill moments with mom all the time. We do have them, and they're kind of nice every once in a while, but you know, they're not often, they're few and far between. So I guess it's kind of fun seeing the daughter at least get that sort of interaction from Lydia, and you know, through that kind of opening up the, let me see, I don't know how to say this, I don't know, just opening up the way for the daughter to have more experience, not only with Lydia, but with her own mom too. It was kind of just like this really nice like moment where you realize, oh hey, Lydia being here wasn't the worst thing, like after all, she might have ruined a lot of your research, but you got a good friend out of it. She's also a good friend to your daughter, and she's also kind of just helping everybody within your workspace kind of loosen up in one way or another and making it a lot more fun to be around, you know. And I thought it was funny because Emily's character was like, see, I am fun in certain like situations, because I guess like, you know, when you see her, you're like, oh, she's the nerdy kind of stick up, like whatever type of person. And she kind of has to like show people like, see, I can do fun things or whatever type of thing. And I thought that was kind of a fun little running joke type of thing. And again, Lydia's character was naturally always that type of person. Again, like she's the complete opposite of Emily. She's always kind of been, again, the rough rowdy, sort of just doesn't care, does what she wants type of thing. And again, with her personality being that way around all of these like smart people, I guess it kind of let everybody know like, hey, relax, like it's not as serious as you guys are thinking it is, and if it is, we'll figure out how to deal with it later, you know, don't overthink things type of thing with Lydia's character. I like that. Another thing with the daughter ends up doing some pretty cool things too later on. There was some later things within the movie with the fights and stuff like that, and the daughter ends up getting, let's see, I mean, it's Thunder Force. I doubt you guys are really gonna care too much about spoilers, really. So I'm gonna kind of get into this one. I'm kind of warning you now, if you do kind of want to skip over this. But I still feel like it'll be like a cool little surprise, I guess, if you do end up wanting to see it. So I'm letting you know now. I'm about to get into it. So the daughter here, ends up getting a cool little suit. I was like, what? Because part of me was kind of thinking to myself, like, dang, it'd be kind of cool if she did. But I didn't think the movie would really go that far. But yeah, the daughter ends up getting some suit in one of the scenes. And turns out she even ends up somehow getting some powers. And she's like a speedster. She kind of like runs in there. She has her own little, like, it's like this Flash inspired suit type of thing. And it looks really dope. Because it doesn't look like the regular Flash, like the red and yellow with the bolts and stuff like that. She kind of has like this cool seamless, it's white and gold suit, and it looks a lot like the it sucks because I can't think of it, because the Flash has a villain that like pretty much her suit looks like it's inspired by. The Flash has a villain that's like, it's an all mask, like it's a suit. He doesn't have like the mouthpiece cut out like the normal Flash usually does. Like his entire body's covered. I think it's Godspeed. I want to say it's his name. It's something like that. You might look it up and be like, no, that's wrong. But I want to say like there's a Flash villain called Godspeed that has like a gold and white suit, and it looks like the daughter's suit was kind of like inspired by that in one way or another. And if it wasn't, it was a pretty close like thing anyway. It looked cool. Like bottom line, that was my point. It was like, yeah, she has a dope suit just like her mom and her friend here. And oh yeah, that was another thing, like the suits in this movie, like this was an action comedy, so I wasn't really expecting, again, I went into this movie not really expecting a lot, like I wasn't asking for much. I was just like, I'm gonna put this movie on, I'm gonna watch it, see what I think, right? The suits in this movie were actually done pretty well. Like, I thought it was weird because when I was looking at it, I was like, I genuinely think these suits are kind of cool, actually. Like, I actually liked the suits. Even though this movie is extra goofy, like, they did a pretty good job on the super suits. Like, those were genuinely, like, somewhat believable super suits. Even the daughters, like I said, had, like, a cool little, like, white and gold, like, Flash suit on, basically. And she can run around really fast, so that was dope. But yeah, it was a overall here, Thunder Force is not the worst superhero movie to ever hit the market. I had a lot of fun watching it. Some of the jokes could have been left out. Some of the jokes were a lot of fun. Don't go into this movie expecting some Grammy Award winning whatever, and I feel like you can enjoy the movie for what it is. Quit expecting greatness out of everything you watch, because not everything needs to be this just amazing like art piece of a of a film, you know. Certain things, you need to take it for what it is, you know. Don't overthink things. And, you know, the suits were cool. I feel like character development was alright. The villains and stuff like that within the movie were pretty dope. I felt like they did a pretty good job at that. There were obviously some, like, jokes on, like, just how dramatic villains are all the time type of thing, so that was fun seeing that. But, oh yeah, and then the suits again. Suits are pretty great. Overall, those are my thoughts on Thunder Force, you know? I don't think it was a bad movie, so if you're really just, like, that bored one day and you just want something to throw on, even in the background or something like that, I feel like Thunder Force would be a great one. Just put it on. Again, don't overthink it. It's just a comedy. It's an action comedy. Like, it's not greatness, you know? It's a regular old movie. Overall, it's an okay film. So yeah, those are my thoughts. Again, thank you. It felt kind of like I sped ran through this a little bit, so sorry about that. But yeah, I hope you did get to come here, just chill out for a second. Just get, you know, get to hear my opinion on something. Maybe see if you find something you feel like watching, hopefully. Again, thanks for stopping by, clicking. I really do appreciate it. Maybe check out some of my other stuff. Some of that stuff's pretty cool. And, you know, again, for like the 15th time me saying it, again, thank you. I hope you guys are having a great day. I genuinely mean it. Pretty boy out. See you.